Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Mexico. I go immediately to my colleague, Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College, as well as the Strategic Studies Institute, traveling in Mexico at just the right moment to comment on the turmoil these last 24, 48 hours as the Trump administration went forward with its tariffs imposed on Canada and Mexico. There are other tariffs. However, we're going to focus on Mexico at this moment because it has a new president, Claudia Sheinbaum, and the USMCA, the agreement that was achieved in the first Trump administration, is still in effect. Professor, a very good day to you. You are in Mexico City, and the atmosphere on the news is feverish about the tariffs. Do you see any evidence of it in the Mexican media or on the street? Are there signs announcing a breaking away from the U.S.? Good day to you.
From Mexico City. The Mexicans have been remarkably calm and quiet about this, although certainly it has been discussed quite a bit in the media. Of course, President Claudia Sheinbaum had talked about trying to approach this with what she called a cool head. Clearly, there's an understanding by Mexicans that the tariffs, which already just went into place, if they continue for literally more than a few days, they will continue to have a devastating impact, because something like 80% of all Mexican manufactured exports, and I believe other exports, go to the United States. And so there is a great interdependence of supply chains. And what Claudia Sheinbaum has promised was that if they couldn't negotiate a suitable solution. Should mention that their economic minister, Marcelo Ebrard, has been now twice to Washington in 2 weeks, trying to come up with a suitable solution with the Trump administration, but was unable to get a favorable response. The second trip was actually more security focused, and that was their security minister, Omar Garcia Harfuch, as well as the heads of both their Army and Navy, General Trevino Trejo on the Army side, and Admiral Morales on the Navy side, as well as a number of other key figures, talking to our Secretary of Defense, as well as talking to Secretary Marco Rubio on the Department of State side. But again, with all of that, we're not able to get an accommodation. And so what President Sheinbaum has indicated is that this coming weekend from the Zocalo, which is kind of Mexico's main town square, if you will, it's a vast space with a great big Mexican flag in the center that is traditionally their space for major public discourse. She is going to announce there what the package of Mexico's retaliation against the United States will be, because the United States also is very dependent on Mexico for a number of products, agricultural products and others. And so this will badly hurt the United States as well. But there's a sense also that that will not only be a policy announcement in the Zocalo, but it will be accompanied by a very large rally with Morena supporters. So in a sense, this is to also show national solidarity in the context of the United States and what is being done to Mexico, and really also to shore up and rally Claudia Sheinbaum's supporters against what is seen, I think, as a threat, but still a threat of a friend that seems to be, historically speaking, beating up its weaker southern partner yet once again.
There are contradictions, and I read some from an analysis at Reuters. Trump's tariff could cost Mexico $42 billion in exports. And Reuters calculates that's a 4% GDP hit, which is devastating beyond expectation. However, Claudia Sheinbaum's approval rises to 85%. and Mexican remittances act as an economic buffer in trade war. Let's focus on the approval rating. 85%, that's outside the realm of what I understand it means. Claudia Sheinbaum is the heroine of Mexico? Is that how to interpret that?
John, that Claudia Sheinbaum's approval rating there not only jumped about 15% since last October, but that makes it about twice the approval rating of Donald Trump. And it's somewhat expected, given that Mexico is facing the situation. There's always what in presidential studies that they call the rally around the flag effect. But at the same time, it's useful to remember that this was someone, it was questioned that given that her predecessor, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, was so popular, there's a question whether Sheinbaum herself, who wasn't seen as a good rhetorician, who was seen as more of a technical person that wasn't particularly effective in connecting with the Mexican people like AMLO did through his long morning programs, what they call the mañaneras. But Sheinbaum, she still has a lot of issues in connecting, but there's been something about not only the situation, but her style of keeping a cool head and working to accommodate the people that, although, again, there are some doubts about some of her leftist radical credentials going back to the days. But the way she is managed this has at least caused the Mexican people to rally around her as a figure. So she really has been coming into her own as a politician, although she's only partially there.
The Mexican economy is wired into the U.S. and vice versa. So these tariffs are, of all the countries we're going to talk about in the coming weeks, this looks to be the most damaged. Your understanding of what it is that the Trump administration wants in those negotiations that were not successful. My memory was two parts. It was fentanyl, but that's part of the story of the open border. Is there reason to believe that Mexico is moving on either of those matters? Something to show Washington in the negotiation.
Here in Mexico, the Mexicans are cynical, thinking that they've done just about everything that they could to control the flows of migrants to the border and to control some of the drug flows, although incompletely. There's a suspicion here, a widespread belief, that this is just about President Trump being protectionist and wanting to have jobs for the U.S. and not the historic cooperation and integrated supply chains between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico that we've had since 1994 when the predecessor to the current agreement, the North America Free Trade Agreement, was put into place. But I can tell you that there is, with respect to migration, there has been significant cooperation. Mexico has deployed 10,000 National Guard forces to the border, and in part because of U.S. actions, also deploying our National Guard and other forces to the border, but also on the Mexican side. There's not only been a control of the border itself, but a control of some of the flows through Mexico, thanks to Guard and other things here, from Guatemala all the way through. And so really the border flows have slowed to a trickle. So that, at least for the moment, appears to be Mexico living up, as it's done in the past also. On the other hand, fentanyl, there has been some indications that fentanyl exports to the United States were down. I think the figures show about a 10% reduction in fentanyl coming to the U.S. But probably the broader issue is whether, as President Trump indeed indicated in one of his recent tweets, whether the Mexican government is so deeply co-opted by these leaders. And there have been a series of things in Mexican media recently. There was a lawyer for some of the famous narcos that was seen in pictures with Claudia Sheinbaum herself. There have been previous issues with respect to governors, including that of Sinaloa, who were seen as closely tied to the corruption. And so I think the real issue is the question of whether the there is such penetration of the Mexican government, both at the state level and the federal level. Some of my colleagues have told me that it's a question. There's clearly a lot of effort that's being put into the National Guard, for example, and has been put into it. And yet the National Guard struggles with having the intelligence coordination, the community policing, and other things things to really be an effective police force more than essentially a territorial control force. In the same sense, although the current Security Secretary Omar Garcia Harfuch has really been trying to build out kind of the equivalent of Mexico's CIA or FBI, which is called the CNI, to try to make it a more effective criminal intelligence force. He's been hiring a lot of former Mexico City police, but again, that institution continues to struggle. The police within National Guard continues to struggle. There is a organization within the Attorney General's office, which for a while kind of functioned as their FBI, called the Agency for Criminal Investigation, that is seen by many here in Mexico as being largely used as a political instrument by AMLO against the opposition. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of indications of cartel penetration and compromise. There's a lot of indications that the institutions are still struggling to really be up to the task. But in terms of at least the objective indications, probably the biggest thing that just happened, of course, was there was a 29 Mexicans were extradited, a very very high profile people to the United States, including one who had famously murdered a DEA agent, Kiki Camarena, back in 1985. And so there's a sense that Mexico is doing just about whatever it can superficially to collaborate, but there's really some profound questions about whether institutionally they're there yet.
Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute, he's in Mexico City. We're going to turn to the big story in Central America this morning and yesterday morning and tomorrow morning. BlackRock moves in on the Panama Canal's Hutchinson, which has been at the center of this controversy over does China have access to and power over this Panama Canal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.